Hello and welcome to Sunday Messages with Fairmount Friends Church. We're so glad that you are joining us. You can find out more on www.fairmountfriendschurch.org. Here's Pastor Brock Meyer.
So we're going to dive in here this morning on a topic that I want to try to say this in a way that, because it's not totally clear to me how to first explain it, we'll get into it here, trying to use the King's English in a way to explain this. There is a way that we can go through situations in life when different things hit our hearts in certain ways that can cause offense. And then what I do with that offense sometimes is I then want to share that with someone else. And whenever I share that concern with someone else, it causes something in the heart of someone to where there's a reaction. And maybe they even partner with me in their anger toward the offender. So now I've done something that's provoked my brother and stirred up something within them on a situation that they have nothing to do with, and yet now they've been emotionally pulled into to where it's causing movement within them. Maybe you've heard it called a secondhand offense. And so now, because of what happened to me, the action I took is I spread it to others, and now something's going on inside of them. Let's talk about that, huh? This is going to be fun. So what does the Bible say about that? We're going to be offended. We're going to be hurt. We're going to be dinged along the way. What do I do with it at that moment? And is it the best idea to start sharing it as a prayer concern? We'll mask it in some spirituality. Hey, brother, we just need to just lift this up in prayer. Let me tell you about Becky, because she's terrible. I'll tell you all about her. And then let's pray for Becky, because we're holy, godly men, right? When offense comes, what do we do? And let me ask you this question. Maybe you say, but I'm seriously hurt, and I just need someone to share it with. And so when I share it with someone, however that lands on them is up to them. Whatever's going on inside of their heart goes on inside of their heart. Am I my brother's keeper? Am I responsible for what goes on inside of the garden of his spirit? That's up to him. And I would say that's an immature response. The mature response is, how can I help bring life to the gardens around me by sowing good stuff inside of them, even when maybe I'm sucking wind? Is it possible? Maybe the Bible could share some light on this. Where we get this phrase, my brother's keeper, comes back to the original family, Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve had two kids, at least that are chronicled out of the gate. Perhaps there was more, but we know of Cain and we know of Abel. And Cain was jealous of Abel, so much so that it moved in his heart to where he thought the response of murder was the best response. We had never seen death on the planet before. And the first death we see is murder, when Cain kills Abel. And then God shows up, and God says, hey, where is Cain? This is the second time he's asked, because a man was missing. The first one was Adam. Adam, where are you? He then comes in and he asks Cain, where is your brother Abel? And his response is, am I my brother's keeper? What a cocky little son of a gun, huh? You're going to respond to God? Ain't my problem, brother. It's not up to me. I don't know where he's at. You created him. You go find him. This phrase, my brother's keeper, is to push off responsibility of whatever's going on inside of someone else. I want to tell you this. Whenever it comes to us getting baited in to sin, Satan is the master of this. He is the one that can hook our hearts so simply and entice us with the sin of spreading offense. Thomas Adams says it like this: Satan, like a fisher baits his hook according to the appetite of the fish. I know a lot of people who enjoy having information on someone else. I like that. It empowers me. There's something about my ego that I kind of feed on that. Hey, did you hear about? Did you know? And isn't it fun to say, yeah, I already did know. Yeah, I already know the situation or the story. That's not exactly right. Let me tell you what really happened because I know the situation. Oh, we love that stuff. Am I just preaching to myself? We like having information on people. And I looked in the scriptures, and I looked, where did Jesus take on offense from everybody else? Surely there's some scripture where Jesus was like, hey, secondhand offenses is the right move. Or whenever you get offended, then you need to go spread that and talk about everybody else. Surely Jesus did that. Would you believe it? I couldn't find a single one. I couldn't find any scriptures where Jesus was like, hey, the best move that God would have for you right now when your heart is dinged, the best move would be God would want you to go and really spread that gossip and some slander and spray that hurt onto your brother's heart. Couldn't find it. But I did find some other scriptures that I want us all to look at. The thing about Jesus is he just lived incredibly focused, right? He knew who he was. He knew what his call was. And so he got after it. He said, I'm after my Father's business. I don't do anything that I don't see my Father doing. And if the Father's done it, then I'm going to do it. If Jesus did it, we should do it. Let's do it the Jesus way. And so we wanted to look at how maybe Jesus did some of these things. Greg Sanders says this. He said, we live in a society where people are offended easily and often. You ever see people running to be the first line to be offended? I mean, they're the first in line to be that victim. It's amazing. Where we used to be the first, you know, I want to be a warrior. I want to be, you know, tough. It's like now I want to be as weak as possible. It seems like we've moved to a spot like that in our society. Words are misspoken, text misread. People's actions sometimes convey a message they never intended. Some entire families will not have a dialogue with one another because of offense in the past. With this much offense active in the culture, the last thing you need to do is pick up offense of someone that has nothing to do with you. Just because you are aware of a problem does not mean that you have to own the offense. There's this passage in scripture, and we're going to actually close with it, but I just can't wait till the closing, because the closing's not coming for 45 more minutes, and I got to get to it right now. There's a scripture that says, if you've got aught in your heart with your brother, and you're at a worship service, leave your offering at the altar, and go and find them, and make it right in your heart. Isn't it interesting? He says, make sure you give your offering. Must have been tight that week. And he said, leave your offering, then go find your brother and get it together. He goes, if there's someone in the spiritual family that is not worshiping with us anymore, they're not here. And possibly the reason why they're not here is because there's some wedge in the relationship. Stop it. Stop worshiping. Stop singing. Put your hands down. Close the hymnal. Go. God's not impressed with you worshiping when there's a wedge in the relationship. Stop worshiping and go make it right. The heart connect in relationships is the game. God really likes that stuff. It's kind of a big deal. It's a super big deal. And so we're going to pray for that at the end. But with that in mind, is my heart disconnected and do I spread that to other people? I need to just, and feel free, if you do feel convicted, just to get up and go. I think it'd be awesome. It'd be awesomer than just to sit here and not obey those scriptures if you feel like maybe that's you and I need to go find somebody. I need to make that call right now. I need to go look someone up. That would be powerful. In Proverbs chapter 6 and verse 16, it says, there are six things that Yahweh hates, seven that he abhors: a haughty look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that weaves wicked plots, feet that hurry to do evil, a false witness who lies with every breath, and one who sows dissension among the brothers. Fascinating, huh? These are the seven abominations, or the things that God would abhor above all of the things. It says that these are seven big ones, right, that he begins to talk about. Then we go on 20 chapters later. This is still Proverbs, and it's Proverbs chapter 26, verse 17. So with this idea, I'm sorry, Proverbs 26, and starting in verse 17. Yeah. So check this out. Like one who grabs a stray dog by the ears is someone who rushes into a quarrel that is not their own. Like a maniac shooting flaming arrows of death is one who deceives their neighbors and says, "I'm only joking." Without wood, a fire goes out. Without a gossip, a quarrel dies down. Isn't that interesting? How do you just starve the fire? Stop throwing wood on it. As charcoal to embers and as wood to fire, so is a quarrelsome person for kindling strife. The words of a gossip are like choice morsels. They go down into the inmost parts. Like a coating of silver dross on earthenware are fervent lips with an evil heart. Enemies disguise themselves with their lips, but in their hearts they harbor deceit. Verse 25, though their speech is charming, do not believe them, for seven abominations fill their hearts. So we just listed those seven abominations. He goes, those seven fill the hearts of gossips. Would it be possible that gossiping, talking about another, is like the chief? Like, in order to be that, you've got to have all of these seven flowing in your heart, is what he's saying. If you're doing that kind of actions, these seven things that God hates is flowing in your heart. It says their heart is filled. Their malice may be concealed by deception. It may look it up, you know, make it look different or put some makeup on it. But their wickedness will be exposed in the assembly. Whoever digs a pit will fall into it. If someone rolls a stone, it will roll back on them. A lying tongue hates those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruins. There's times when things go on inside of my life where I want to vent to someone. I don't want to get healed. I want to vent. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I want to share. I'm frustrated. And I'll even just start the conversation. Is it okay if I just vent right now? Is it okay if I just live in the flesh and just feel all of the hurt and the pain and just let that thing just kind of bathe over me and kind of splash some of it on you, right? I'm just going to vent right now. I would say that there needs to be some safe places where we can do that, as long as you're understanding your audience, that the audience isn't going to rush to your side and aid in the victimhood, and then you're going to hijack some peace and joy inside of their hearts and mess up relationships that they currently have. I know that that's deep. I know there's all kinds of different webs like that. But perhaps a place to seriously just get some healing would be maybe talking to a pastor, talking to a counselor, talking to a friend outside of the situation who doesn't know that Joe Psalms offended me. Joe Psalms didn't offend me. But that doesn't know Joe. So they're not going to have aught in their heart. But when we share stuff inside the body of Christ or inside of our community, let me remind you, it's a small community. You're related to half of them. Don't ever talk about somebody in this community because the person that you're talking to, it's their cousin. And we just got to be mindful that somebody else is going to take on that sort of offense. And all it does is it wedges the community. It wedges the church family. It's like, well, however that lands, it just, you know, it's however it lands. Right now, look at this. Right now my elbow itches. And my hand could say, I owe you nothing, elbow. It's yourself, man. Figure it out. Isn't it beautiful that the mind can tell the hand to serve in a way that the elbow gets some loving? And that, like, right now, my lower back is, like, unbelievably tight, that my mind could tell my waist, can you just serve and bend over? And hands, can you just grab your toes? And, oh, baby, I got to get back up. Yes, there it was. But my whole body now just can feel better. The body is better and healthier when it's thinking of others, when it's mindful of others. How is this going to serve one another? Is this going to hurt one another? Is this going to rile something up inside of one another? Is this going to start something in our family? Why are we talking about all, right? Are y'all with me? Is the point just to vent, or is the point to get healed? Is the purpose to, like, partner and get some agreement on my side, or is the purpose to get a really strong, healthy family? I'm not saying that you shouldn't share those hurts and those pains, but be mindful that the audience is probably going to partner with you, especially if they're your friend. And is that a really good, mature leader move? As you think about that stuff, if I've got aught with someone here in the church, do you think it's a good idea that I go talk to somebody else in the church about how I can't stand that person? Would that bring life to our church? No. But it is helpful that I have other pastors and other leaders outside of the context where I can kind of gain some altitude in the relationship. Rather than talking to brother, sister to sister, I can go, hey, as a spiritual father, I really need some coaching on this one. I just need a safe place where I can get some coaching, get some healing as I work through this situation, because I want the mind of God as I re-engage. But to move into places, I'll tell you this. Here's the definition of gossip. Gossip is talking about someone else, whether it's true or false. I'm going to talk about them. The sneaky part is it can be true. They were not awesome, and they cussed you out. And they did this, and they did that. All of that's accurate. And so now I need to go talk about them to someone else. The Bible says it's not a good move, man. He says that's an abomination, and we need to stop it, whether it's true or whether it's false. Then he says one other phrase here, and he says it's called slander. Slander is gossip, but when it's all just inaccurate, it's a character assassination. I'm going for blood on this one. There's slander that's coming out of my mouth. And he says, is it possible for a river to have two streams coming out of it? One of good and one of bad, one of fresh water and one of salt water. Can you praise the Lord and curse your brother? Isn't that wild? The Lord wants to separate. He's like, man, this thing ought to be a river of life. You ought to be able to speak words of life. Whenever this thing is open, bring life. And so this bait of Satan, this hook that he has, I ask myself, what's the driver inside of me? I really want to share this. This person, I don't like them, and they're a bummer, and I got to tell everybody about it. What's the driver? Why? Why do I want to do that? And to define the why do I think that this is God's best move for my brother? And if we would be mindful enough of my brother or my sister to say, God, I want the best in their heart and inside of their spirit. There's times whenever I can go home and Alyssa's a safe place for me. Alyssa's my partner. There's no secrets that she doesn't have access to, right? And yet, she is not my garbage can. I cannot come in and just take the trash of the day and just dump it on my wife. That's just not a leader move. Nor is it a blessing to her. She's like, man, I can't wait till he gets home because I hear how terrible everybody is. What a joy. Glad I signed up for that. But if I'm mindful of the one that I'm with, say, hey, you know, how was your day? Hey, here's just a tough situation that I'm going through. I don't need to name names, but just in me. And it doesn't have to be about anybody else. Just in me, there's just some frustration that I'm just working through, and I'm just really trying to look for joy, just trying to find peace in the situation. This coworker, this boss, this person, man, it's just, I just feel like the bait of Satan is hooking my heart, and he's just drawing me into some just dangerous places that I don't want to go. So if you would, you know, as you're praying for me, it has nothing to do with anybody else. It's just me. And just God's just doing some really cool things in me where he's growing me up. And he's maturing me. And man, this thing just kind of hurt. I just want to get loved on tonight. And, you know, let's have some family time, whatever it is. You know what I mean? There's really healthy moves that doesn't have to be sinful and slander and gossip other people. Is this landing at all? No? Okay. Proverbs 11:13. A gossip betrays confidence, but a trustworthy person will keep the secret. There's times whenever I'll have a counseling appointment here, or I'll be meeting with somebody. Just tell Alyssa, hey, you know, I got this meeting here tonight. Great. See you when? See you in an hour. Okay, great. Doesn't know who we're meeting with, doesn't know what the conversation is about, because there's confidence in a brother. She doesn't have to know. Doesn't have to know what the conversation, doesn't even have to know who I'm meeting with. She knows where I'm at, knows that we're having this conversation, and then we're back home, and we're playing Uno. Hopefully. I like Uno. We're playing something, and we're going to do some family time and some exchange. But can you go through some things of life and say, you know what, this is something that I can handle, that I can hang on, without being a brother that will reveal the secrets of everyone else? A good church family will protect one another. That's just a good family move. We will protect one another. I've got a pastor friend, and their church recently just celebrated like a church anniversary thing. And the pastor at this anniversary event was dressed kind of casual. He kind of dressed casual at this event. A lady in the church sitting out there texts one of her friends. Oh my gosh, I can't believe it. This is the church's big celebration of our anniversary. And the pastor shows up wearing whatever. And then the first lady of the church, his wife, she calls him the first lady. The first lady doesn't even come. She's not even at our anniversary event. She thought she was texting her friend. Ever done that? She sent it to a group chat that the pastor's in and his wife. The pastor gets this during the anniversary service. Knowing that this is going on, their conversation that's bouncing around text messages in the sanctuary as he's getting ready to get up and speak and talk about God's faithfulness for years in their church and how God has blessed their church family. And he knows that this is the dialogue going on. Whew. So he just holds it in, but his wife did not. And a secondhand offense sometimes is even stronger than the original offense. Because I can handle it, you know, brother to brother, brother to sister. I can kind of work through that sometimes. But the other person who's outside of it doesn't have the relationship, and so they're just going to take on this offense. So the wife comes in swinging and says, oh, who are we to miss this service? Who are you as the committee to plan it on my child's whatever? I think she had like her 16th birthday, and they did this like weekend trip away or something like that. And she goes, to not be mindful of our family that maybe we would want to, you know, be together or whatever. I mean, she came out swinging, and they're like, oh, shoot, this went to the group. The pastor's just like, hey, you know, we're good. We'd love to chat with you afterwards. We need to have a conversation, but probably not with 17 other people on the group chat. It's fascinating when we want to talk about ourselves. The Bible says this, when we compare ourselves and we begin to have all these kind of different conversations amongst ourselves, we have entered into all ungodliness. Or how about these seven things that God abhors? That is what's flowing in the heart of people that like talking about one another. Proverbs 17:27. Can you bridle your tongue when your heart is under pressure? This is the Passion Version. That's how you should. That's how you show that you are wise. An understanding heart keeps cool, calm, and collected, no matter what you're facing. When even a fool bites his tongue, he's considered wise. So shut your mouth when you are provoked. It will actually make you look smart. When something provokes the heart, the Bible says, shut up. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't say a word. Don't say a word. Because you're going to look like an idiot. Stay cool, calm, collected, and just allow the Holy Spirit to just start doing some cool work, man. Holy Spirit, come on, baby. I need you. Let's flow. It's just me and you, buddy. Because the text messages are bouncing around in here. Woo, it's just me and you, man. I need you. And you tap into a higher stream of joy and of life. And it's not just public opinion, man. I've got the blessing of my Father flowing. And if we will live based upon the public opinion and we don't live in the presence, then we will submit to the critic rather than to the king. And the king's voice matters. And so, man, let the critics and let all that stuff kind of just swirl. But man, I transcend all of that because I'm in the face of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I just can't allow my heart to get moved and swayed. See if the Bible says anything else on this. Do you think it does? Me too. Proverbs 18:33. Spouting off before listening to the facts is both shameful and foolish. One translation says this: he who speaks on a matter he knows not of makes him a fool. You don't know the whole story. You don't know everything that happened. You weren't there. Well, I heard it straight from the horse's mouth. You heard a side of the horse. You didn't hear the entire conversation. And so now you're going to speak on a matter that you don't have the full story on. The Bible says, welcome to being the chief of all fools. That's an idiot move. Shut your mouth. Don't talk about it. You don't know what's going on. Don't do it. That's a bad move. Don't go there. Think the Bible says anything else? Me too. Proverbs 16:28. A perverse person stirs up conflict. He says that's perversion. The person that will stir it up, you're a perverse person. That's what the Bible says. And a gossip separates friends. The one that wants to talk about it, you are the divider, and you separate people. It's okay to sit with people in their sadness. It's okay to sit with people in their hardships. It's okay to walk through somebody when they're going through that without taking on all of their sadness, without taking on all of their hurts, without taking on, hey, I can just be with you, I can listen to you, I can encourage you, but I do not have to take on your offense. I do not have to get my heart all dinged up. I don't have to get angry. I don't have to call up Joe Psalms again. Joe, sorry. Just an easy target, man. You think the Bible says anything else? Did Jesus, hey, do you think that Satan ever tried to hook with the bait, the same bait on Jesus? That crafty little serpent stinker. Let's see, did Satan ever try to bait him with this? In Luke chapter 12, verse 13, the Bible says, then someone called from the crowd, teacher, please tell my brother to divide our father's estate with me. Jesus replied, friend, who made me a judge over you to decide such things? Interesting. Here's the crowd. Everybody's out there. Jesus, here's the situation. Pops has given the inheritance away. He's splitting up the estate. My brother doesn't want to share. Can you partner with me on going to my brother, convicting my brother, telling him that he's wrong, letting him share the estate because I want money and he's ripping me off? If anybody who's ever walked the planet was able to make a judgment call on that one, probably it's Jesus. And Jesus says, not doing it, man. I'm not going there. Who made me judge? Is that wild? Jesus, you are the judge. You're the man. You got to do this. He's like, ain't doing it. That's the bait of Satan, and I'm not going there. Satan will put the bait that the fish has an appetite for. And if you have an appetite for conflict and quarrel and information on someone, he will hook you as easy as anything. He'll just hook you because you've got an appetite for it. You're hungry. And I would just say, don't take the bait. It's not worth it. And if Jesus says, I'm not going to do it, we should also not do it. Sometimes we might use the excuse of sharing an offense to others in the name of, hey, just pray for me. brothers. And we just mask it in spirituality when what it really is gossip and slander. I think we also need to be careful on a prayer chain. And we have a prayer chain. That it is for intercessors to go into the war room praying for healing and breakthrough, and that God would lift off bondage and sickness and debt, right? That's the purpose of a prayer chain. It's not the gossip hotline. So we got information. No. It doesn't need to be cloaked in spirituality. What is it? What is going on in my heart? What am I saying? Am I spreading pain? Am I polluting my brother's heart on this one? Take our offense to Jesus. Engage the battle with God. Battles that are fought with secondhand offense will not bring the victory that you desire. And here's the final scripture. This is Mark 11, 25 and 26. This is Jesus. We should listen. Whenever you are standing praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him, that your Father in heaven may also forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you of your trespasses. I want to be forgiven. Man, I want to live free. I want to live healed and whole. And God says, you can. You can live forgiven to the degree that you'll forgive others. It's to the degree that I'll forgive you. And if you won't do it, neither will I. Whew. Our hearts can stay locked up, unforgiven by the Lord, if we will not forgive others. If there's some legit hurts out there, I would encourage you, reach out to myself, Pastor Andrew. We would love to walk that through with you. I'm serious. I would much rather walk that through with you than to try to put the pieces of the family back together. Let's walk through it. Let's get healed. Let's get whole. Because the goal is healing. The goal is not slander. The goal is healing, not gossip. The goal is to get really, really sharp and really, really good. To be more and more like Jesus. That's the goal. And not just to vent and just to blow our lids and, you know, all that sort of stuff. Man, let's just get really, really good with Jesus. Maybe for some of you here this morning, you're thinking, man, I don't even have a relationship with God. I'm just trying to make it through, man. I'm just trying to make it through and just try to get through the best way I can. I would just encourage you that the best way just to get through is to not have all of the baggage that weighs down your heart and to take that to Jesus. Say, Jesus, just heal me, free me. All of these hurts and dings and offenses, I just lay them at your feet. I invite you just to forgive me of my sin. Wash me clean. Come into my heart. Cleanse my mind. Just let me live good. That's the best way to get through every day. So wherever you're at right now, we're just going to do a little bit of some prayer, just asking Jesus, man, cleanse me. Cleanse my heart. Wash my mouth. Ah, we don't want our mouths polluted. And then spraying that all over the gardens of the hearts of our brothers and sisters, over our family. Those hurts and those pains climb a little bit to a mentor, to a pastor, to a counselor that can help walk that through with you. Would you all stand with me this morning as we close in prayer? Oh, I know this message isn't easy, but it is good. And if we can get it, we can just live gooder and gooder and more like Jesus. And so let's take our hearts to him. That hurt that you've got right now, let's just take it before the Lord. So Jesus, you know what that person said, and you know what that person did, and I'm still sucking wind from it. God, I pray that I would not take the bait of Satan, where I would want to start just sharing with everybody and gossiping and slander. Jesus, cleanse my heart. God, get me healed. A healed person doesn't make those moves. So God, just let me get really healed and whole. Lord, I ask you to forgive me where I've got aught with my brother or my sister. Lord, I pray that we would leave our worship service today and go find them and make it right. Jesus, I pray for this church family, that we would be those that would protect one another and not take shots at one another. God, I pray that we would defend one another's character and not attack one another. Jesus, I pray for families in here that there's just been that divider in the family. There's been that person that stirs it up. Lord, I pray that there would be unity in that family. Lord, I pray that you would move on hearts and just restore lives and relationships. And God, ultimately, we want all of this so that we can glorify you and we can live the best life we possibly can in you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
So we're so glad that you were with us today. You can subscribe on iTunes or Spotify or your preferred podcasting app. Be sure to rate us so other people can know about the podcast.